It's a blessing to be here. We've been to homeschool workshops quite a few times, and we've always been blessed by them. I didn't quite expect to find myself doing this, but I wanted to be willing. I've been blessed by them. I didn't expect to be recorded either. So, Why don't we start with a word of prayer? Father, as we're here before you, you see us, we are mothers that are desiring to have your will done in our lives. Father, we're desiring to raise these children that you have entrusted us with for your glory and honor. And so, Lord, we just come to you and asking you that you would give us wisdom and insight here as we seek you together. Help me, Father, that I could clearly communicate the things that you would have me to say. We just ask this all in your precious name. Amen. Homeschooling to me has been an investment. Welcome. Homeschooling to me has been an investment into my children. I've so enjoyed the time that I get to spend with my children. I've been very thankful for the opportunity to teach my children at home. It's been a great joy for us. And I was always thankful too that when we first looked at the subject, it was like we had no idea where to start. And so we're thankful for the ones that took time to help us through some of the curriculum decisions and help us with how some of that looks and just help us get started with some of that. So I was asked to share not because I have attained or I've done everything right, but we've had some experience, and so we'll just share from our experience. Your experiences might be different, but hopefully there's something here that you can gain or learn from. So as Mo said, we have 9 children, and we're very thankful for each one. We have 3 girls and 6 boys. The 2 oldest girls are married. They have been married about 2.5 and 3 years ago. So we have 3 grandchildren. And this year I started our youngest in first grade. And so it's good, but I've always enjoyed homeschooling. So think of schooling the last one as a little hard, but as you have children that get married, life gets busy, and so you kind of see you're moving on maybe possibly to the next stage. And so it's good, we're thankful. But I've been thankful to have one more that we're just starting in first grade. So we have 6 boys and 1 girl left at home. And like Mo shared, our homeschool journey started 21 years ago when our oldest daughter was 5. And it's something we grew into. I started with a first grader. I didn't start with multiple children and various grades. So in that way, I felt very blessed because I was able to, something I just grew into with the children. I learned along with them in a lot of ways. As we think of the topic here before us and the Bible character that we've been given to look at, I was looking at Daniel. What are some of the things that we can learn from the life of Daniel? And I guess right off, one of the first things that came to mind is how Daniel lived his life with a sense of purpose. He had a purpose for what he did. And you find some of that purpose there. It says he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat, as it says there in Daniel. Chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. So we see a purpose in his life, and I trust we all have a sense of purpose, but do we have a sense of purpose in our homeschooling? He was determined to live his life according to God's divine law, even in a foreign land. I think that would be especially challenging if you were in a foreign land where you didn't know the language, possibly. there was things were strange, things were different, and yet he purposed to live for Christ. And I think we need that purpose in our life. It will carry us through with a vision for our children. Do we know why we teach our children at home? If we have a clear sense of purpose and a reason for why we teach our children at home, it helps us work through some of the distractions and the stresses that come. If we can remember the goal, it can help us stick it through the nitty-grittiness, because there is definitely some of that there where your days don't always go as you would like or as you had planned. But if you have an end goal in mind, if you have a vision beyond this day, it helps us. So for us, for a purpose for our homeschool, there was several, and one of them was in response to Deuteronomy 6, which has been referenced two different times today. I have it here, I'll just read it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And so, how can we teach them every day, all day long, if we aren't together? So it was a love for God, and his commandments was one of the purposes, one of the visions that we got when we started homeschooling. And another one was a love for our children. I'm not necessarily one of those that is against sending your children to another school if you at all can't teach them at home. But for ourselves, I don't think I would have the relationship that we do with our children if I would not have been with them and taught them every day the way we did, especially our sons. As I think of our sons as they go to work, now as they're older, I don't know that I'd have that connection with them, that vision with them, if I wouldn't have been with them as much as I was every day, all day long, and build a connection there. I've often thought that there are some very gifted teachers who could do a better job at teaching academics, but I don't know that any of them could love my children as much as I do. And so we had that vision and that desire to teach them at home. Homeschooling is not necessarily a guarantee of having a good relationship with your children, but it is rather a tool to that end. So if we can see that it's something that we can use to influence our children, to have influence in their lives and to build a relationship with them. And really, when you have sons and daughters who love God and his word and his people, and they chose to surrender their life to him, the time you spent teaching them will seem very short. It goes really fast. I know it's in the nitty-gritty sometimes it can seem like a long way out, but it really comes very fast. It's really a short growing season before you can see some of the fruit, and it's completely worth it. So don't forget your purpose for doing it. And so the second thing I thought of in Daniel's life is his life of prayer. And I know this is one we hear about a lot, but I don't think we can hear about it too much. Prayer is our lifeline, our connection with God, with the God of all power. And I'm not even necessarily here talking about personal devotions. I think that goes without saying. But I'm talking about what is the first thing we think of doing when it feels like our day is getting unraveled. And going back to our personal devotions, I know it can be hard to fit them in. And there's days possibly that it don't happen. But don't go through the day defeated if that happens. You can still live in victory. Surrender the day to God in prayer, even if you didn't get all the time you wanted to in the morning. And you can still live in victory that day. You don't have to go through the day defeated. And I didn't pick a specific verse out of his prayer, verse out of Daniel for this one, because his prayer life, it seems like the whole book of Daniel, it seems like he spent so much time in prayer. There's just various where he prayed three times a day, when he got thrown in the lion's den. There's just different times. It just seemed like the whole book is full of prayer. So, but what is the first thing we think of doing when it feels like our school day is getting unraveled? And that's something I've been blessed by many times, is just stop and breathe a prayer for help and ask God to give you wisdom into this situation. And I've been blessed many times. Maybe it don't come right then even, but later on, there's a solution that comes to mind that you know was a direct answer to that prayer. It's a tremendous faith builder when that happens. But one thing that does usually happen right away is I have a sense of peace because I've invited God into this situation. So when you can't seem to get through with long division and the baby is teething and fussy, yeah, it helps to pray about it. It helps to ask God, because really, God is as interested in our children's education, our children's, he's as interested in our children as we are, if not more so. So as we invite God into that situation, it makes a difference. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Remember that it is God's direction for us to diligently teach our children, and he is deeply interested in the souls he placed in our care. He is the one, this stood out to me too, he's the one who tells us in Daniel 1:17. In Daniel 1:17 it says, as for these four children, it's talking about the four children, Daniel and his three other, the ones that it mentions there specifically in the book of Daniel. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And so that knowledge and that skill and that learning and that wisdom came from God. I mean, we are here to instruct and to teach our children, but ultimately God is the one that gives. So another thing that I was wanting to draw from Daniel's life is his relationship with God and with God's people. In one sense, his life of prayer and his relationship with God is so intertwined that we can't really separate them. But I just wanted to draw out a couple points for us to consider here. Daniel had complete confidence in God. In Daniel 2:16, we see where he goes to the king, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. So basically, Daniel went in and he asked the king for more time, and he told the king that God would give him the interpretation. So he had that confidence that God would help him and give him what he needed at that time. He knew and trusted God. And so for us, if we want our sons and our daughters to be, as it says in Psalms, plants grown up in their youth, our sons to be as plants grown up in their youth, and our daughters as cornerstones polished out of the similitude of a palace. That's in Psalm 144, verse 12. We need to know and trust him as well. Our children need to see faith lived out in the midst of busy, full lives, stress and pressure. Can our children see a quiet, calm trust and reliance that we trust God will work things out for our good? This is challenging because life can get messy at times, and home is where so much of it is lived out. And lest you think I have attained, I have not. We're still learning some of these things. So, by God's grace, seek to make home a restful haven, one everyone looks forward to coming home to. And I'm not talking about the rooms or what's in them. That's only a small part. But help your children to cultivate godly, healthy relationships and attitudes, starting with their parents and siblings at home. So maybe it's not this way at your house, but at our house, it's pretty easy to for siblings to kind of rub each other the wrong way, or one does something the other one doesn't like. So we're there to help them work through those things and seek a better way, or seek an alternative route rather than just having it out. So help them to appreciate and enjoy each other. And remember, the goal is to raise a godly seed that is able to serve this generation. Don't allow disrespect to go unchecked, even towards their siblings. Encourage your relationships with their dad. This is a big one that I don't think we often realize the impact that this has on our children. Don't allow your children to talk disrespectfully to you about their dad. It's so easy when children are little and dad is their hero to build up that relationship with him. That's something I've sought to do. I haven't done it perfectly. I'm not standing here saying that. But never discuss your dad's fault with the children. If they are struggling with the decision that dad has made, encourage them that he's only looking out for their good. Because the reason this is a healthy relationship with their dad can help them so much in how they view God and how they and their relationship with others. If they have a healthy relationship with dad, it goes a long ways towards putting them, giving them a healthy view of God and how they relate to others, and their sense of security and their self-worth. It can all be kind of tied in there together. Not that they can't overcome that if there's a situation there where that, if there's an abusive situation or something, which I hope and trust that's not the case here. But I think we don't realize sometimes as mothers that how important that is that we do that. So if we're thinking of raising a generation of children that can stand in the gap and be called the repairer of the breach, which is in Isaiah 58:12, we know it has to begin at home. We need to have a vision and a purpose, and may God help us with this. Now, there's probably a lot more that we could draw from Daniel's life here with excellence in the king's court. I have some practical things that we've done. Not because we've done it right, but because we haven't. And I wanted to say at the beginning, if anybody has questions, we want to open it up at the end. Not that I would have the answers, but maybe somebody in here would, so we can discuss them together. Not that we have done it all right, because we haven't, but hopefully something can maybe encourage one of you where you're struggling in an area or where you have a question or something. So I know well what it's like to have a row of young children and no energies. You're expecting another one to join the family soon. The house needs attention. The two-year-old isn't getting potty training. And the fourth grader isn't getting adjectives and adverbs. Sometimes it can look overwhelming. I know I had those days when it felt like I just can't do this. That's where, if we have a vision, if we have a purpose, if we realize why we're doing what we're doing, it helps carry us through those times. So does that sound familiar? I hope I'm not the only one, which I guess it would be good if I wasn't. But so we're raising a godly seed that can serve their generation. And as it says in Psalm 78:3-7, I'm just going to turn there. Psalm 78:3. It's talking about, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And so as we consider that high calling of teaching our children perpetual faith, faith that goes on from one generation to the next, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And as someone who has seen some of the joys of having children grow up, embrace God, and get a vision for themselves, I'm here to tell you that it's worth it. The stress, the days of feeling like you're not getting done, you're not getting it accomplished, but getting a vision for going on, it is worth it in the end. Not that we're done, but we've seen some of the fruit and it is good. So I just want to tell you that you will not regret the effort, the prayers, and the tears. It is worth it. It was during such a busy time myself that I heard this piece of advice that I want to pass on to you in hopes that maybe it will bless some of you. I was listening to a tape, this was before CDs, of someone sharing about homeschooling, and she said, you know, you can't do it all, not all at the same time. And that blessed me tremendously to realize I can't do it all, not all at the same time. So somehow I need to decide what's important, what's going to help with the vision and the direction that we want to go, and maybe let some of the other things go for a while. What she was saying is you can't have a picture-perfect house, big meals, big garden, favorite hobby, beautiful landscape, do all your own sewing, do all your own canning, etc., etc., and still have time and energy left over to teach school. And that helped me prioritize what was most important and realize it was okay to let some things go. And they will come back at a later time again if you want them, if you still want them. So one of the things I cut out was I still canned some. To me, it was important in some of the things I did. I did enough to teach to children so that they would know. As in canning and sewing and gardening, we did some. We just didn't do as much. We cut back. We had a truck patch or a second garden, I guess you could say, and we got rid of the second garden and just did some of the basics in our main garden. And so that helped to relieve some pressure there. It's only been in the last 2 or 3 years that I've started keeping houseplants again. I enjoy houseplants. There's something about having them in the window and watering them and seeing them grow. I enjoy them, but they do take a lot of time, or they can. And I've probably killed more than what have survived. I told one of my friends one time when she gave me a plant for my birthday gift, I said, you know, you're just putting it on a suicide mission. They often don't survive. But I enjoy them. But it was one of the things I let go for a time. Most of the time is just for a time. But to cut out the things that would keep us from pressing on towards the goal, that are not necessary for that at the time, that would help relieve some stress. So that was one of them. Sewing was important to me, and I wanted to make sure that my daughters learned to sew. So that is one thing that we did some together, and also yeah, it was just something that we, as part of their schooling, was one of the things that they learned. One thing that I'm still striving towards that really helps is if I can declutter. Clutter takes a lot of time and it still happens. And my house didn't always and doesn't always meet my own standards of cleanliness. We didn't always get cleaned every week the way I wanted to. I'm not embracing filthiness, but somehow we have to be able to live. And so maybe there's something in your life, maybe there's a hobby that you have. Reading was one for me that I had to just realize I can't just sit down and read a book whenever I want to. It was something I had to let go for a while, for a time. It was a treat for me to be able to get to sit down and read anything. So maybe there's something that would help you in that way, just to realize if you're trying to do everything all at the same time, we might miss the most important things. For us, 21 years of homeschooling has went by so fast, and time with your children is really pretty short. So don't try to do everything and miss the most important one. And our children's education is something that has been very important to Mose and I. If your child isn't able to read or do math, he is handicapped. And you don't want your child to go through life that way. So even with all I'm saying about the character training, about the godly, I'm not minimizing in any way academics, because they are important. Your child will use them all his life. I have seen children that have a hard time reading, and my heart hurts for them. We don't want to do that to our children. It is important that they learn, and they learn to be able to do their own checkbook, run their own finances, be able to read and to write. And then once they learn to read, they can learn a lot of things. So I have enjoyed homeschooling. It's been something that I've just really enjoyed. It was something I grew into, so maybe that made it easier, I don't know. But make homeschooling fun and help them cultivate a positive attitude towards learning. Often for the children, once they've learned a little something and they're learning to read or something, oh, go read that to Dad. And when Dad listens to them read, oh, that really helps them get excited about it. So make learning fun and affirm them as they learn. Not all of your children learn the same. So that's one thing we as mothers and as homeschoolers have that I feel like is probably an advantage over going to another school as well, is we can know our children. We can know their positive strengths. We can know the things they struggle with, and so we can focus on the things they need help with. We can focus on the things they're good at and help them become even better. We can focus more on the individual child. So that's one thing I've really appreciated about CLE's curriculum, is how they in their curriculum, and I know we're at a CLE conference, but that's not why I'm saying this, but they in their curriculum, they gear their curriculum towards teaching them to learn on their own. They help the student, they help the child read the first part, and then they can learn a lot by reading on their own. And so they're able to do, some of the older ones, I oversee their school, but they're able to do a lot of it themselves. And then I check their school for them. So one of the things we really are helping our children do is to learn how to learn things for themselves, how to work and study, and how to be self-motivated. Once you have a child that's self-motivated to get his school done, that's over half the battle, I think. If you have an older student that still fully relies on you for all his explanations, he's somewhat handicapped. I know there are exceptions, but as a rule, that would be my experiences. First, they can learn to read, then they need to read to learn. If you can cultivate a love for learning, it would take them far in life. So another thing that we've done that has worked well for us is for our older children, Maybe you don't find it this way, but I've found that it's so easy to get distracted. And in school, when I went to school, we had that kind of that, what would you call it, pressure of getting done on a certain time because all your classmates were getting done on that at that time. But at home, you don't necessarily have that, so it's easy to just get distracted. School kind of suffers, and you have to keep pushing them along. So one of the things that we have done that has worked for us is we have given the older children a stopwatch. And so we have given them a time. For math, they get an hour and 15 minutes. When they start math, they start the stopwatch. And they should be able to have that subject done in an hour and 15 minutes. There's exceptions, you know, there again. But as a rule, that has really helped. And so then for language arts, we give them 45 minutes. They start the stopwatch when they start language arts, and it keeps them motivated, it keeps them focused, it keeps them on track. And that has helped us. I just put it out there, maybe it would be a blessing for someone else. So know your child. Some might need more time, and some might not need as much. And that is fine. It's just something to help your children work towards staying on track. It's so easy to get off a track when they're working by themselves. Another thing that we do is that if they get done before lunch, they get to put a sticker on a chart. So there's this, I have to be careful that they don't just hurry through their school to try to get done before lunch, but it's really not been a problem. But if they get done before lunch, they get to put a sticker on a chart, and after 30 stickers, they get a small prize. And so that one has the rewards and the punishments kind of built right in, because if they don't get done, they don't get a sticker. So that one has been a blessing as well. Another thing I did when I had older children and toddlers is that one of the older ones would sometimes take turns for like a half an hour taking care of the toddlers. You can't just, if you have toddlers, they do need to be taken care of. And so that has worked well, to have one of the older ones take care of the toddlers as needed. I know if before I had older ones that could do that sometimes. Sometimes school took most of the afternoon yet as well, because we had to do it in between doing other things as well. I also had just a few special toys that they were only allowed to have during school hours, and that kind of kept them fresh and new. And so they looked forward to having those toys that that they were able to have during school hours. Another thing that we've done is we do the achievement charts from CLE. I don't know if you've seen those or not, but the achievement charts, they have little squares for stickers and stuff for all the subjects. And so we score the tests and the quizzes, and then we give them a star. We have a chart where if they get 100%, they get a gold star. For 95 to 99, they get a green star, or a silver star, I'm sorry. And then a green star for 90 to 94%, and so on. You get the idea. And then with each color star, it's worth just a little bit of money. We don't necessarily give our children, we don't pay our children to do help with the jobs or anything, so this is one way they can, if they do well in school, they can get a little, it's just a little bit, just a little money. And they look forward to the counting them up at the end of the school year and seeing, putting together what they got. One of the things I noticed in some of the boys especially is if I started earlier on, I started them younger. And I've noticed with the boys especially is that if we started them younger, they would often do well in the lower grades. But then as they got to sixth, seventh grade, they would start struggling with language arts. And so they were still fairly young as they got to those older grades. And then they seemed to struggle with, they hadn't developed quite enough maybe or something to, they seemed to struggle with the in the older grades more even possibly than in the younger grades. So I've backed off. We don't start ours as young as we used to. And one way that we've cut a lot of corners, I just put this out there, is one way that we've cut corners is I use a lot of paper plates. We have a home business, and so I have two married now, so there's still nine around the table for three meals a day, which makes lots of dishes. And so it was one of those things that we decided it's worth it. We buy a lot of paper plates for just to help save so there's not so many dishes. And we eat a lot of quick meals for lunch. It's usually a quick meal, so often leftovers. And also, if we work together at school lessons, then I need their help in getting the other work done. So afternoons, after we're done with school and stuff, they would often have to help with whatever needs to be done. The boys would have to do dishes at times or hang out a load of laundry. And so, yeah, those are some things that have worked for us. It's rare, very rare for there not to be something for the children to do, which I tried to balance with a little time off as needed. So your children have so much potential. As I think of those little lives, the potential they have for good, do we have a vision for that? You know, if you think of when you were a child, the memories you had of as a child, and the special times when your mother showed her love and care for you, we want to be able to give our children that to look back on in their childhood and realize that we really cared deeply for them. We tried to give them the best. And homeschooling is a valuable tool we can use to teach and train our children. I had to think of Proverbs 31:27, where it talks about the virtuous woman. It says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." It's such a beautiful calling that we have. I would just encourage you just to embrace it with joy. It's something that we don't want to look back on with regrets. Our children grow fast. So that's kind of all I have right here, right now. I didn't know if anybody has any questions or anything that they would want to have some input on. I don't know that I would necessarily have the answers, but maybe somebody in here would have some insight or something in that line.
Mm. And I had the same thing because I enjoy indoor plants, and the children were smaller, and it settled in. I had to get rid of them, and I didn't have time for them. Anyways, it was about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. We have a little sunroom off our kitchen, and I was sitting there, and I just looked around. I think I shared it with somebody, but I just smiled, and I smiled, and I looked around, and my house was full of plants. What happened was we have one of our daughters, and they enjoy plants, but I don't take care of them. I told her, I said, "You're welcome to, but I said, you're going to have to take care of them." And then I was reading through the Bible, and that's what I was trying to look for, but I'll just read it. It was in Matthew 19:29, and I think there's another scripture somewhere in the Gospels. I couldn't find it. Maybe someone will be able to look for it at home. I was going to find it here. It's Matthew 19. Verse 29, and says, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life." And the scripture that I had read was very similar to that, but it also has, "shall receive an hundredfold in this life, and in the life to come." Mm-hmm. And whether homeschooling or sending your children to school, to see fruit in your child's life, you cannot be part of this world's kingdom. Does that make me? I agree. I really enjoyed listening to everything you had to say, but there's going to be some forsaking. Maybe I might be talking about persecution, but we're not going to be involved with just look at the women of old, right? They took care of their families. They weren't involved with a lot of other affairs.
Mm.
If I can say it like that.
Yeah.
And then one question I was thinking about too, and I don't know if you have an answer for it, but what do you think has had the biggest impact in your home and on your children making decisions that they're making? And maybe that's a hard one. You don't have to answer. And I know it goes deeper than homeschooling. I didn't know if you had any thoughts. Sometimes as women, I know we're thinking throughout the week. And if you don't, that's fine. I'm not, it's just, I can share one thought that I was thinking about. And your respect for your husband was one thing that I came. If we want to raise children that are very rebellious and disrespectful to the church, live in disrespect to your husband, and it doesn't have to come in mean ways. Like, if you don't catch the vision they have, that can be disrespect. I don't know, just a thought. But you might have a different one too that was on your mind, but that was where I was thinking of.
Well, the first thing that came to mind, and I don't know that there's just one solid thing that I can say, but the first thing that came to mind is our devotion to God and His Word and recognizing Him as true. If that's solid in our lives, that will speak to our children. The second thing I was going to say is our relationship as a husband and wife. I don't think we realize how confusing it is for the children if they have to choose between mom and dad. How can you choose between mom and dad? So as much as lies within you, which I believe God gives us the grace, and there may be abusive situations, I hope not, but be at one with your husband. It makes a tremendous difference in your home. And I'm thankful that my husband, we were converted about 22 years ago. We're very thankful for that. I don't know where we would be without that. So that, to me, is very important. That gave us the vision, that gave us the purpose. And then it also gave us a vision and purpose for our home, that we could come together as one. That was our bond. That was, you know, that was what kept us on track. Homeschooling, as I said, is a tool that we can use in our home to build those relationships with our children, pointing them to God. I'm thankful for the curriculums that we have that do that in such a good way. The science, when I went to school, they didn't do science because of the evolution and stuff that was taught in the science. I'm so thankful. When I first looked at a science book from the Christian-based, I was just like, this is so interesting. I never read or seen any of those things before. And so I really enjoyed it. And some of the children still, I'm surprised at how well they enjoy science. We don't necessarily do all the science experiments, and we don't do all the chemicals and all the things like that. But there's so much to learn about God's creation, which in a lot of ways is what science is. So yeah. Does anybody else have a question or something they want to share? I'm not sure what time are we supposed to be done. Does anybody know? Do you have a? I should have checked for sure before I came.
11:45 is a summary.
Okay. So we still have a little bit of time.
Share a little bit something.
Okay.
Just reinforce what you said about the importance of a vision. And also, like your husband shared out there about being a servant, teaching our children to serve.
Mm-hmm.
I guess just the testimony of, I felt like something that hindered in our life, that just to help you maybe avoid that if possible.
Sure.
There's the normal stresses, like you talked about, of just the daily thing and just the work involved, but then there's the abnormal stresses too.
Sure.
When you live in prolonged stress about church
yes.
issues, or when there's maybe extended family pressures, that are not resolved, and it gets, the ideal is when you can go to your husband, and he can help you work through that, but when you're both working through the same thing sometimes, sometimes you're both struggling, it's really important that you're able to go to someone else and just ask for help, just be
okay.
Mm-hmm. And just open your hearts to someone that you could share with, and maybe on a weekly or a monthly basis or something, because it's just so important. You lose focus of the important things when you're under that prolonged stress at times.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on your children. You know, they have a hard time receiving your... if you don't have, if you've lost focus on the vision, you really can't pass that on to them. And I'm thankful that I believe our children have, for the most part, they're serving the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. But I've seen that stress that left its mark at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to encourage the rest of you to make sure that if you need help, to don't be shy, just ask for help if there's such a stress.
Thank you. Yes, those stresses can be very real. They can take our focus. So you're just trying to get through, and you have a hard time with managing all the other things that you're responsible for in your life. So yes, if you can get help, that would definitely help your children in the long run, help them as well. So yes.
Like, do you have an age where you felt like they can be, you know, responsible to keep going? At this time of our life, we have 3 days a week. We have therapy coming. It's an hour, and it's in the morning. And so just trying to find the balance of being in the schoolroom with them or having them to be responsible and do their own school, you know, to stick at it. And I just, wondered if there's an age that you felt like would be, they can do that without, you know, mom always being
For myself, when I start seeing a little bit more independence and how much they are able to, so we do CLE for about, I think, for everything except math. And so for myself, when I start seeing that they can read the instructions that they have there at the beginning, or the explanations, and comprehend them, it's usually around third and fourth grade. And even at that, it's not like I just say, okay, you go do school, and I'm still around. I'm usually helping one of the younger ones with their school, helping them do that. But at third and fourth grade, it's more, I see, okay, they're able to do some of this on their own with me just kind of overseeing it a little bit more. And then it's pretty quick to tell when you go to check their work if they actually comprehended it or not. So when I check their books, I know not everybody does this, but I make them redo what they got wrong so they learn from their mistakes. It takes time. I've been wondering, is it worth it? But I think, well, if they don't learn from their mistakes, we're going to keep repeating them. So that's the way I have done that, as far as when I correct their lessons, they redo them, and we try to learn from the things they've gotten wrong. And in answer to your question, most often it's probably been between third and fourth grade there somewhere that I see them able to pick it up and have the self-motivation to do it themselves. But I will say this, and Linda, you helped me. Linda worked for us for 2 years when we had lots of young children. That's another thing I will say, is if you need help, ask. That's something I personally regret that I didn't do sooner, is ask for help when I needed it. There's so much in a mother's life. If you're a wife, you're a mother, you know, there's so many different things that you do. It's okay to ask for a girl to help you 1 or 2 days a week or whatever you need. that's not a shame. That's not saying you're not capable. I'd much rather see someone do that than have children coming out of someone that's trying to do all by themselves, not really having learned to read well, not really having gotten the concepts of math. It's okay to ask for help if we need help. And yeah, maybe someday it will come back to you, right, Linda? So yeah, homeschooling to me has been something from the start. Paul and Viola Hirschberger actually brought their school books and showed us different school books, helped us to wade through curriculum. They helped us get started and established in our homeschool journey. So that was something, as I was studying for this, I thought, what if they wouldn't have done that? What if I wouldn't have had someone out ahead of us showing us the way? And so I was very appreciative and very thankful for that. So if there's someone that, if you have questions and you see someone's doing it well, ask, how are you doing this? So anybody else have anything, any questions? Or if not, that's okay.
So do you do all the subjects from Christian Life?
The only one I don't is math.
And what's your reason?
I started with math. We start with Saxon math. That was actually what I had just mentioned, that Paul and Viola Hirschberger had helped us, and that's what they were using. They liked, they had manipulatives that they used that would do hands-on, which CLE might as well. I'm not as familiar with CLE's math curriculum. But in the first three grades, math for Saxon is very, very hands-on. So they grasp those concepts early on of adding and subtracting, multiplying, dividing. They do a lot of it where you can actually see it, where they have blocks and cubes that you add to or take away. And so for the first three grades, if they can get a good foundation in math there, that really helps them in the rest of their school years. I guess then in seventh grade, we have switched to teaching textbooks. We do that in the seventh and eighth grade. I didn't grow up doing algebra, so I've learned some with the children, but they've exceeded me in that area, which is okay. I'm thankful if they can learn more than I know. That's okay with me. So for the seventh and eighth grade, then they do teaching textbooks, which would be on the computer. There's no, you don't see any person, you just see a whiteboard where it explains the math, the problem to them, and then it checks it right away and tells them if they got it right or not.
So approximately how many hours would it take a fourth or fifth grader to get through all their school books in a day?
That can vary a lot per child.
Yeah. Let's say one that does well with school.
Mm-hmm. We've been getting through before lunch, if we start by 8:30. That's not taking much of a break in between, but we're kind of committed to getting it done before lunch, then we have after lunch to do other things. That doesn't always happen, and when I had lots of younger children, that didn't always happen because sometimes they had to help me with some things in between. So I don't know if that answers that question.
Well, let's just say for me, before lunch is a struggle.
Okay. Well, and that's okay. That's where you're at. And I think it depends so much on the student. If your student is not, I had one son that was a little bit of a hard learner in reading. He was the first one. And I pushed him. And I've wished since I wouldn't have. I wished I'd had more patience. So it takes a lot of patience with teaching them, especially if they're not getting it. Well, you know it. It looks so easy. Why don't you get it? Just to have a lot of patience with them as they are struggling to learn some of these things. So if it's taking you longer, that's okay. we didn't always get done before lunch either when I had lots of younger children, because there were lots more interruptions. So that's perfectly fine. That's something I do as well. As in the morning, I have taught them that we do the three main subjects, what I call the main subjects first. We do math, language arts, and reading. Actually, we help our children get up to have devotions, personal devotions, not the really, really young ones, but we have one in fifth grade now, and we will get him up in the morning a half an hour before our family devotions, and he will do his Bible as part of his devotions. He will do his Bible as part of his devotion. So I guess we did do Bible first. But beyond that, we do math, language arts, and reading. We do those first. Science and social studies, we don't always completely make it through all the social studies light units, but they do read the book. They always read the book. So science is probably one that if I'd be weak on, it'd be science in social studies that I've been weak on, but we still do them. We just don't always make them as far through as we probably should, maybe.
So what grades do you start with social studies and science, right? From first grade, or do you wait until they're a little more?
It has varied from child to child. If I had a struggling student that didn't do well with learning to read and is struggling through first grade a little bit, I would not do the social studies and the science with him. But if I've had some that have done well and wanted more, then I've done it with them. I've done it in first grade. It's, for the most part, it's something easy and simple and they enjoy. So
is it okay to wait until they're a little older to
I think they find it hard to
get the school done and then plus all the other duties?
Yes. I think they actually kind of consider it optional until, is it third grade? I'm not sure. I'm thinking it might be in their catalog, but I'm not completely sure if it says more optional.
When they start
yeah. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I think it's considered more optional till third grade. At least that's my understanding. Yeah. So there's not just one size fits all necessarily. Our home situations are different, our lives are different, our responsibilities, although there's a lot of similarities, there might be some that I have that you don't have, and there might be some that you have that I don't have. If we have a vision and a goal and a purpose for, what's that? Okay. Julie Whitmer? Okay. It helps us with, let's see, where was I at? So if we have a vision and a purpose with our homeschool, it helps us weed through some of the other stuff. What's important? What can we let go? Because as a matter of fact, we can't do it all, not all at the same time, and have it all turn out right, have it all turn out well. So I think we might close in prayer, and we'll dismiss unless somebody else has something. I appreciate you all. I was thinking this morning I should have had a little gift for you all, but I don't. I'm sorry, I didn't think ahead far enough. But I appreciate all of you listening. It's not like I said, it's not like we have achieved, but we have enjoyed our children. We have enjoyed schooling them at home. We're very thankful for that opportunity and that privilege. Thank you. It's been a rich blessing in our lives. And so if we can just communicate some of that and also inspire somebody that might be feeling like, I can't do it. By God's grace, you can. Pray for direction. He will inspire you in ways that you really didn't think about before. It happens. He does. He's more interested in our children than we are. So let's just pray. Father, as we come here at this close, Lord, I pray for each one of the sisters sitting here in this room as they raise their children for your glory and honor, Father. May you give them the wisdom and the insight that they need to be able to do it well, Father, to be able to point their children to you, Lord, in a way that would bring you glory and honor, because in the end, Father, our lives are really all about you. We thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, I pray that you would bless each one of them. Help us, Lord, as we continue on this journey to be faithful to the end. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen.